O Lord, your word is full of promises. May we be made rich in its riches, be strong in its power, be happy in its joy, abide in its sweetness, feast on its preciousness, draw vigor from its manna. In Jesus' name, amen. Do please have a seat. There are about 68 references to joy in the New Testament. Jesus entered the world on a note of joy. As we'll be hearing at Christmas, the angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." Jesus left the earth on a note of joy. He said to his disciples, just before he died, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Paul the Apostle wrote to a church and said, "I work with you for your joy." In Paul's famous list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the second aspect of that fruit is joy. Only love comes before it. And joy is good and necessary for the Christian because a joyful Christian is a strong Christian. The Old Testament says, "The joy of the Lord shall be your strength." Show me a joyful Christian and you show me a spiritually powerful one. And a joyful Christian is a contagious Christian. The Christians who made me want to become a Christian when I wasn't one were the joyful ones. So what we're doing this September is having a series, and I'm calling it The Path to Joy. And we're going to look at four practices which are joy-giving and joy-growing, joy-creating. Now, joy, in part, is an emotion. It's more than that, but it is an emotion. And we can't just turn an emotion on like a tap. But I think what we can do is, it's a bit like gardening. You can't make the soil grow plants, vegetables, flowers. But what you can do is add things to it, like manure, compost, lime, water, earthworms, which will make it fertile and make it cause it to help it, if you like, to grow the flowers or the vegetables. And we can do certain things to our hearts and minds which will help them to create joy. Remembering always, of course, ultimately, that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to think about four practices. Thanksgiving, rejoicing, withdrawing, and serving. One each Sunday for the next four Sundays. And these are not the only things that are needed for Christian joy. They may not even be the most important things. The old hymn says, "Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus." Trust and obey. And that's based on Jesus' words where he says, "Blessed or happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So faith and obedience are necessary for joy. But we talk quite a lot about those. So we're going to talk about four lesser-known practices. And the first one today we think about is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving helps to grow Christian joy. In Colossians, the letter we read from today, in chapter 1, Paul refers to giving joyful thanks to the Father. So in his mind, joy and thanks go together. A Charles Wesley hymn makes the same pairing. We'll sing it next week. "Rejoice, the Lord is King. Mortals, give thanks and sing. Rejoice, give thanks." "Gratitude, not understanding, is the secret of joy," said author Anne Lamott. The secular website Positive Psychology says that, quote, "daily acts of gratitude can have a big impact on your health and happiness." So we're going to think together about Christian thanksgiving. And I've got a little outline here, if you'd like to find that in the order of service. And the reason I'm doing that probably most Sundays this month, is we're gathering together, we're not looking at just one passage, but a number of different verses, and I thought it's helpful just to kind of gather them together on one bit of paper. So first point, thanksgiving lies at the center of Christian living. Colossians 2, 6-7, those words printed. "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So what we learn from these words is that thanksgiving is at the center of Christian faith and life. So scholars say, and there's very widespread agreement on this, that these words in this letter sum up the message of the letter to the church in Colossae, and if you like, Christian faith and life in a nutshell. The essence of Christian faith and living. Obviously, there are different summaries elsewhere in the New Testament, but this is one of them. And would you notice that the final element in this summary is overflowing with thankfulness? He might have put overflowing with faith, overflowing with hope, overflowing with love, the three principal Christian virtues. Instead, he puts overflowing with thankfulness. So thankfulness, as it were, has made it through the auditions and has got a main part on the main stage of the Christian life. So that's why Tom Wright, former Bishop of Durham, who wrote a commentary on Colossians, says that thankfulness is at the center of Christian living and is to be the main characteristic of God's people. The center. This is not peripheral. It's not, oh, just, well, we do it if we feel like it. Oh, some people are big on thanks, but I'm not big on that. No, this is central to Christian faith and life. And that is the case is supported by the fact that in another place, Paul, talking about the essence of godlessness and wickedness, says that not giving thanks is one aspect of the essence of godlessness. So Romans chapter 1, that's what he's teaching about. What is godlessness and wickedness? And as part of that teaching, he writes, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to them. They gave thanks to him. So Paul sees in not giving thanks to God, he says that is part of the essence of godlessness and wickedness. And we deduce from that that close to the essence of Christian faith and life is giving thanks. And that is why Christians will be concerned, by the way, that there seems to be a decline in giving thanks to God in this country. End of the Second World War, Winston Churchill, Prime Minister, came to the House of Commons. He announced the end of the war, and then he moved, quote, that the House should repair to St. Matthew's, Westminster, to give thanks to Almighty God. Have we heard such a call as we end the pandemic? I haven't. Prime Minister hasn't said it. I haven't heard a Member of Parliament say it. They might have said it privately, not publicly. Why are we not giving thanks to Almighty God? That is godless and wicked. It follows that if thanksgiving is at the center of Christian living, the Christian should, in Paul's words, be overflowing with thankfulness. And I wonder what picture he's got in mind as he thinks about overflowing. Maybe I was wondering, is it the fountains of Rome? Rome, ancient Rome, was known as the city of fountains. And he'd been to Rome. And you had these 9 aqueducts, brilliant feat of engineering, bringing water into the city, into 39 monumental fountains. And maybe he'd seen these fountains overflowing with water. And maybe that was the picture in his mind. I don't know. But whatever, he's saying, overflow with thanksgiving. Be abundant in your thankfulness. So this is not just, oh, you know, one thankful prayer on a Sunday or even one thankful prayer in the morning, but throughout the day, overflowing with thankfulness to God. And not just thanks, but huge thanks to the Lord. And not just on our own, but when we pray with others. Whenever we're asking things for things, also giving thanks. And if you are overflowing with thankfulness, you will be joyful. And you will be established as a Christian and stable and not easily led astray. Paul is writing to these Christians because they were being led astray. And what he's saying in Colossians 2, 6 to 7 is that a grounded, growing, and grateful Christian is stable. A grounded, growing, grateful believer will not easily go astray. So thanksgiving lies at the heart of the Christian life, but what should we give thanks for? What lies at the heart of Christian thanksgiving? Well, second point, Jesus Christ lies at the center of Christian thanksgiving. So in chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul is telling the Christians in Colossians what to be thankful for, and we heard about some of those things in the reading. That the Son is the image of the invisible God. That all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. All the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. Through Jesus, God has reconciled all things to himself, and so on. So Christian thanksgiving must include as its principal element thankfulness for Jesus Christ and what he's done. Now, secular people, as with so many things, borrow from Christianity. And the secular world is taught on and understands that thankfulness is a good thing to do, and it's healthy and it makes you happy. And so you can go to Amazon and you can buy yourself a gratitude journal. And in that journal, you can fill in that you're grateful for a favorite memory or a favorite place or a favorite food. And that's all fine, but where Christian thanksgiving differs from that is that it is principally thanksgiving for Jesus Christ. So the non-Christian will not say, "Thank you, Lord, that you have made peace through the blood of Jesus Christ." The Christian will say that. How is your thanksgiving? Does it include thankfulness for Jesus Christ? So thanksgiving lies at the center of the Christian life. Jesus Christ lies at the center of Christian thanksgiving. And finally, everything good lies within the scope of Christian thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So Paul is saying, whatever you do, everything in life, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it within his character, on his behalf, representing him, having breakfast, clearing the table, swimming in the sea, going to the theater. Do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come to church in the name of Jesus Christ. And whatever you're doing, in all of that, in the name of Jesus, giving thanks in everything. So we are thankful for and in everything as Christians. G.K. Chesterton said, "You say grace before meals, all right. But I say grace before the play and the opera, and grace before the concert and pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink." Now, the most challenging part of Christian thanksgiving and giving thanks for everything is that includes giving thanks in painful circumstances. And those who can do this are, if you like, the medal-winning Olympic athletes of the Christian life. And we may not get all that far in this. We may not feel we're on the podium. We may not even feel we're in the Olympics. But let's at least try and make some progress. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus," writes Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. So not only in good health, prosperity, leisure, but in sickness, poverty, hard work. Not thankful for evil, not thankful for sickness itself, or death, or unemployment, or theft, or fraud, but thankful in those things as we experience them. Martin Rinkart was a German Lutheran pastor during the 30 Years' War in the 17th century. Rival armies roamed around Europe, pillaging, raping, robbing, plundering. What's more, his village was struck by the plague in 1637. More than 8,000 people died. He was conducting mass funerals of up to 50 people in a day. Then there was a famine. But probably, we're not absolutely certain, but he probably wrote the hymn, "Now thank we all our God, in that period. We're going to sing it in a minute. The first verse says, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices. Who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Incredible. Giving thanks in all circumstances. I couldn't do what he does, what he did. But I'd love to be there. I'd love to have that thankfulness in all circumstances. Maybe what we could do is just start with little pains and disappointments in life. And I wrote on my, I was writing the sermon, I was just thinking about it actually on Thursday morning, my day off, and I said, well, you know, I'll suggest to the congregation, well, we missed a train, you know, and rather than moan, let's give thanks. And then I was going off for a walk, I was getting a train to Henley, and I missed my train. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I've just put that in the sermon, you're testing me on it. Can I give thanks? Well, yes, it just helps me to learn patience. It doesn't really matter that I got the 10:27 rather than the 9:57. Giving thanks, and it's so easy to complain, isn't it? Or we're heading for a picnic and it's raining, and we moan. Or just being thankful that the earth is being watered, and so on and so on. Now, I'm going to finish today with a practical suggestion of how we might become more thankful people. I'm going to suggest that we might use ourselves individually a prayer from the Book of Common Prayer called A General Thanksgiving. And we're going to pray it in a minute. We're going to pray the Book of Common Prayer version. There's a modern version, a modern language version, if you prefer that. The language is a bit antiquated. And, of course, we have to understand that when it talks about giving thanks for all men, it means men and women. It's men in the old-fashioned sense of all people. But personally, I find the older language easier to remember. And I have memorized this prayer. I memorized it many years ago, and I pray it every day. And I love it because it thanks for all sorts of reasons. But one thing is that we give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. And that's absolutely right, because God has given us all good things to enjoy. But I love it because it says, it talks about what above all I give thanks for. Above all we give thanks for. And what do we give thanks for above all? The inestimable love of God in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. That above all. And the spiritual blessings which follow from it. So it makes me give thanks to God for the cross every day. And I pause, there's a kind of rubric in the prayer book which suggests this. I pause after the first sentence and I give thanks to God for specific things in my life. And I used to do three. And then somebody told me that in addict recovery groups, they teach thankfulness. And they asked people to give thanks for 10 things. So I thought, well, I'm going to give thanks for 10 things. And that will include thankfulness for something about Jesus, something I've read in the scriptures, the work of the Holy Spirit in somebody, but also for simple things. I love my morning cup of tea. Thank God for my cup of tea. Thank him for the smell of the honeysuckle, and so on and so on. So I'm going to stop preaching, and I'm going to invite us all to find that sermon outline, and I printed the words of A General Thanksgiving on there, and we'll just have a moment of silence, and then we're going to pray. It's quite a long prayer, but we're going to pray it together as we finish the sermon. And so we pray together. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Well, as I've said already, we've got a great way to finish the service as we sing absolutely